In the verses we read, the sort of toward the end of chapter 5, I think is a formula for, and it contains ingredients for things that we can do that will help us not to slide back. If you notice there in verse 23, and it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart wholly." And I pray God, notice what it mentions, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body. That's all of us. We were created in the image of God. God, a three-part God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we were created a three-part creature with a spirit, with a soul, and a body. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, I pray God that all of you, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless. Be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, hey, Jameson, I want you to come up here and help me tonight, all right? So just come up here, and I want to cover just a little bit of ground that we covered on Wednesday night, and then you can help me illustrate tonight this, all right? So here's Jameson, all right? He's going to represent us as Christians tonight. And I mentioned Wednesday night when salvation is not a process. Salvation is something that happens instantaneously. It happens just like that. When we realize that we are a sinner, and we realize there's a penalty for that sin, and somebody helps us understand that penalty is separation from God, and then we hear the gospel. We hear the good news of the Bible. The good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for payment of our sins. He went to the cross, a perfect Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, even the Passover Lamb, you remember, could have no blemish. And our Savior was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And when Jameson heard that he was a sinner, and he heard there was a penalty for that sin, and somebody told him about the gospel, he prayed and asked Jesus to be his Savior. And then just like that, not a process, it's not something the church had to approve, not something the elders of the church have to approve, just like that, he was saved. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was a Christian, reserved a place in heaven. The Holy Spirit entered into him to live forever. Now, if you're here tonight and you've not done what Jameson has done, you need to do it tonight. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And you've heard me say many, many times, right now, this moment is the easiest time in your life that you can get saved. It is. Because if you reject God tonight, if you reject the Savior tonight, the next time you hear it, the next time that somebody helps you understand that you're a sinner, it's going to be harder for you to make that decision than it is tonight. Because the more we say no, and every time we say no, we make it harder the next time we hear the gospel. And so again, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you tonight, I implore you tonight, get saved tonight. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm asking you to get into the family of God. But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And He'll do that for you tonight. So when we get saved, it's an instantaneous thing. It happens just like that. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we've reserved a place in heaven. But living the Christian life is a process. You see, here's Jameson. He just got saved. Nick, come up here. I need your help, too. All right? We're going to let, I usually let Nick represent the bad guy, so tonight I'm going to reverse the roles. He's going to be Jesus tonight. All right? He is that, and Jesus is our example. He's the one that we're headed toward in our Christian walk. And so God wants us to move from where we are when we got saved, and He wants us to get over there. He wants us to be like Jesus. Now, that doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen in a matter of moments. You got to go back, bud. It happens a little bit at a time. It happens a day at a time. It happens a month at a time. It happens a year at a time. As we mature, as we are perfected, as we learn more about the Bible, and as the Holy Spirit works in our life and God puts experience in our life, everything that comes into our life, He's trying to make us more like Christ. And Paul talked about it, the Christian life. He says, I have run my course. And each of us have a course to run from where we are when we got saved to become more and more and more like Christ. And again, that's a process. Now, Paul talked about in that 23rd verse that we read, to be preserved blameless. All of us, our body, our soul, and our spirit. Because you see, in this course that we have to run, in this race that we have to run, in this life that we have to live for Christ, there are times, if we're not careful, that instead of going forward, we will slide backwards. Okay? I mean, God wants us to go forward. He wants us to keep making progress. But if we're not careful and we don't guard ourselves, we'll slide backwards. So that's a term that's called backsliding. And that's exactly what it means. It means to slide backwards. And in this chapter, chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us a little formula, gives us some ingredients that if we keep in our life, it'll preserve us, all of us, from sliding backwards, and it will propel our forward motion. It will propel our motion toward being more like Jesus. So I have 8 points tonight. Can you guys stand up that long without getting tired? Okay. I'll be quick, all right? So, and we're just going to take them verse by verse, because every one of those verses, and they're just like this. I mean, Paul writes them just a sentence at a time, just like this, one right after another, and he says, hey, if you do these things in your life, it'll help you keep moving forward. It'll help you keep making more progress toward being more like Jesus. The first one is in verse 15, where the Bible says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. And what that verse is saying is, if we want to keep making progress to be more like Jesus, we got to learn to forgive others. We got to learn to forgive others that do us wrong. We can't hold grudges. We can't want revenge. We can't want to get back at people. So if somebody has done us wrong, if we're going to keep making progress, we need to not only forgive, but we need to forget. Sometimes we hang on to things too long as Christians. Sometimes we hang on to bad things that have happened to us, people that have hurt us in one way or another, and we hang on to them too long. And here's what we say sometimes. Well, that person needs to be taught a lesson. They need to learn that they shouldn't do those kind of things. I want to tell you something tonight. God's a better lesson teacher than you are. God can help them learn that lesson a whole lot better than you can. So let it go. Just forgive them and forget it. If Jameson is over here and he's got something against somebody that done him wrong, do you think he's going to be making progress toward being more like Jesus? If he's out for revenge? If he wants to get him himself? No, he's not going to be any more like Jesus, because why? Jesus forgave and he forgot. He is our example of forgiveness. And if we're going to be moving toward him, if we're going to be more like him, we have got to learn to do the same thing. And render evil for evil to no man. That's why the Bible says, turn the other cheek. That's why the Bible says, when the disciple asked Jesus, I think it was Peter that asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother that does me wrong? 7 times? And Jesus said, oh no, not 7 times, 70 times 7. You think that stuff's in there just so the Bible can sound good? That stuff is in there because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to turn the other cheek. He wants us to forgive. And so if we're going to keep making progress, if we're going to be more and more like Jesus, we need to not hold grudges. We need to forgive. We need to forget people that have done us wrong. So number one, render evil for evil to no man. Number two, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You know, I like to look at people when I'm sitting up here. I just like to look. You know, sometimes a lot of you have looked like you've lost your joy. And I sit up here in my chair and I say to myself, boy, I hope they have more joy on the inside than they're showing on the outside. I know some people say, well, preacher, you don't know my problems. You don't know what's going on in my life. And you're absolutely right. I in most cases, unless you share them with me, I have no idea the problems and the concern and the heartaches that you have going on in your life. But I do know this. I know most of you, if not all of you here tonight, are saved. I know that. I know you're going to heaven someday because you are saved. I know you got the Holy Spirit inside of you that helps you make it through day by day. And I know that the people in this room have it better than 85% or more of the people that live in the world. You have a better home, you eat more food, you have a better car, you live in a country that gives you the freedom to come to church and do just about anything you want. Yes, we have problems and we have concerns and we have heartaches, but you get to make a choice. Like I was talking about this morning, life is not what we hope it to be, life is the choices that we make. And Mr. Jameson, on his Christian trek to be more like Jesus, he can focus on the problems, he can focus on the heartaches, he can focus on the concerns, and he can lose his joy. He can lose his joy, because it'll rob you of your joy if all you focus on is the things that are wrong. But if you focus on the things that are right, if you focus on the fact that you're saved, you're going to heaven, you got the Holy Spirit, you live in a great country. I say, preacher, don't you think we got problems in this country? I do. I think we got some big problems. But I tell you what, it's still the best place on earth to live. I'd rather live here than any place else with all the problems that we got. I'd rather enjoy the bounty that God has given us in this country than any other place. I'd rather enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country than any other place. And I'm going to focus. I'm going to focus on the good stuff. I'm going to focus on the blessings of God. Yes, I have problems and I have heartaches, but I'm not going to dwell on those. I'm going to just give them to God. I'm just going to give them to God. Do you think that I'm going to make progress or that Jameson is going to make progress being more like Jesus if he loses his joy? No. He loses his joy by focusing on the problems, and he's not going to make any progress. And if anything, he's going to back up. He's going to slide back. God says, rejoice evermore. He knew that we'd have things that would not make us rejoice. But he says, choose. Which ones are you going to focus on? Which ones are you going to think about? He says, rejoice evermore. Number three is in verse 17, where it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I'm for having a prayer time. I think everybody ought to have on their schedule once or twice or more a day, a time where they either with their family or by themselves or both have a time they set aside to pray. I think you ought to put it on your schedule. But I also believe this verse is true, where it says, pray without ceasing. I believe you can pray when you drive. Some of you need to pray when you drive. Amen?
Yeah, I drove with you.
Oh, you drove with me. Okay. Stay out of my preaching. I'm going to have you go right back down there and sit down. I believe you can pray when you drive. I believe you can pray when you work. I believe you can pray when you shop. I believe you can pray when you're getting your hair cut. I can't think of any situation where you can't pray. I think if you go to sleep with a prayer on your lips, you may even pray while you're sleeping. I don't know.
But that verse says, pray without ceasing. And again, if we're going to keep making progress toward being more like Jesus, what did Jesus do all the time? He prayed. He got up early in the morning. He went out late at night. He found time, even though he was probably one of the most busy person that ever lived, he found time to get away and be by himself and pray. Listen, if the Son of God needed to do that, how much more do we as mortal human beings? If the Son of God thought it important to get by himself and pray, how important it is for us. Pray without ceasing. I was thinking about this afternoon. Sorry, I'm spitting on you here, bud. That's right. Where was I? Oh, I was thinking about it this afternoon. You know, let's say we had a long-lost friend that we hadn't seen in a long, long time, and they came to visit us. They just showed up unexpectedly. And you had all sorts of things that you already had scheduled tomorrow. You know what most of you would do? You just take your friend and say, hey, come on, come with me. Whatever errands you had to run, you just take your friend with you, and as you went to the various things that you had to do, you'd catch up, you'd talk, you'd visit, you'd communicate with one another. That's what prayer is. It's just taking Jesus every place you go and talking to him. Just talking to him. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what you need. Tell him, you know, the concerns of your heart. Listening to him. You say, how do I listen? How do I listen? That's why you should memorize Bible verses. So that when you talk to Jesus, he can bring that verse back to your heart and to your mind. A verse that you've memorized, put in your heart and your mind. We do that with a friend. Jesus is the best friend we got. There's no reason we cannot pray without ceasing. And if we're going to keep moving in that direction, if we're going to keep getting more and more like Jesus, we just need to do what that verse says. Pray without ceasing. All the time, everywhere, regardless of what's going on. Number four, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Verse 18. The Bible says in the book of James, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. I would submit to you tonight that everything that comes into our life is a good and perfect gift from God. Everything. I know when we read that verse, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, what we are prone to do and what we are quick to do is just think about the good things that come into our life. We think about, we think about all the blessings that we put in that category, the good things. But I would submit to you, you're right? Okay. I would submit to you tonight that everything that comes in our life, whether we would call it good or bad, whether we would call it a blessing or not a blessing, is a good and perfect gift from God. It's a good. I mean, he has a plan for our life. He didn't let anything come into our life without a purpose. He didn't let anything come into our life without a plan. He's trying to work something out. Sometimes he can't work things out if all he puts in our life are good things. Sometimes bad things, the things that we would consider bad, have to come into our life so that he can make us more like Jesus. And so he says in that verse, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. And so if Jameson is going to keep making progress, if he's going to keep getting more and more like Jesus, he has to realize that. That God has a plan, and that whatever comes into his life is ordained of God, and that he should be thankful for whatever comes into his life. Again, if he's going to keep making progress. Now, if he's going to pick and choose, and he say, well, I'll thank God for the good things, but I won't thank him for the bad things. Okay? Then what he's failing to realize is that God works everything for good, and that he has a plan for even the bad things. If he's not careful, he'll slide back. But again, if he gives thanks for everything, he can keep making progress toward being more like Jesus. Number five, Quench not the Spirit. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. We're given the Holy Spirit when we got saved. The moment that Jameson got saved, he got the Holy Spirit. It's not something you get when you're a teenager. When you get saved as a child, you don't have to wait till you become a teenager. You don't have to wait till you become an adult. You don't have to wait till you're 21. The Holy Spirit come. How old were you when you got saved? You remember?
Four.
Holy Spirit came into a little four-year-old boy, just like it came into a 21, or just like it came into a 16-year-old teenager when I got saved, just like it comes into every person, regardless of how old they are. You got the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. Part of God moved in, took up residence in your life. He's there to help us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper as we live this Christian life, as we run this course, as we run this race. And the Holy Spirit is there all the time. When God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, what he was talking about is the Holy Spirit never decides to move out. Now, there may be times we don't listen to him. There may be times, you know, we don't pay attention to what he says, but he is always there. And he is always he's always helping us make decisions. He's always helping us, you know, decide where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And if we'll listen, he will guide us. So that verse says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in the Bible is represented as fire. You know, remember when they were in the apostles and that group of 120 was in the upper room that time before Pentecost? There were tongues of fire that came to them. That represented the Holy Spirit of God. One of the best ways to quench a fire is to throw dirt on it. Okay? One of the best ways to quench a fire is to just, you know, pile dirt up on top of it. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do so as to not to quench him is to live a clean, pure life as much as we can. And again, he'll help us. Another way we quench the Holy Spirit, besides getting into things we shouldn't get into, is just ignoring him, neglecting to hear what he says. We quench the Spirit when we just say, well, I know this is what you want me to do, but this is what I want to do. And by the way, I forgot to read a verse and when I started. Most of the time when we slide backwards, it's because we tell God we don't want to do it his way, we want to do it our way. In the book of Proverbs, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, if Jameson is sliding back, it's because he's told God, take your hands off the steering wheel. I'll steer myself. Take your hands, get out of the captain's chair. I want to sit in the captain's chair. Don't tell me what to do. I'll decide for myself what to do. And the backslider in heart is one that does that. Is filled with his own ways. And so we need to quench not the Spirit. We need to be obedient to the Spirit. We need to listen to the Spirit and do what the Spirit says. And if we do that, we'll keep making progress to be more like Christ. All right. Number six. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. And here's what I'll say about that. If we get to the point in our life where we don't like preaching, then we're going to start going like this. We're going to start sliding back. God honors preaching that preaches the Word of God. He honors that preaching. Many people are saved by preaching, and many, many Christians are, again, making progress toward being more like Christ the more preaching they hear. It's true. I mean, you look at the people that are going like this. You know what they've done? They quit coming to church on Wednesday night, they quit coming to church on Sunday night, and they quit coming to church on Sunday morning, except for every now and then. But a person that comes, like Kelly was testifying a moment ago, Sunday morning for Sunday school, And Brother Leonard does more preaching than he does teaching. I hope you've realized that by now, but he preaches. And so you come Sunday morning for Sunday school, you hear preaching. You come Sunday morning for church, you hear preaching. You come Sunday night for church, you hear preaching. You come Wednesday night, and for the most part, you hear more preaching on Wednesday night than you do teaching. And somebody that loves preaching and puts himself under preaching is somebody that's going to keep going like this and not like this. Number 7, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I'm going to let that verse point to the Bible. I'm going to let that verse point to the Word of God and say that we need to hold fast to the Bible. We need to hold fast. We need to read it. You know, the last couple years, we've had some goals about reading through the Bible. You know what we're going to have in 2012? Another one. To read through the Bible. To read through the Bible. I mean, I think it's important that we stay in the Bible. I think it's important that we stay in the Word of God. I hope we never get to the place where we don't lift that up, that we quit emphasizing that. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to hold it. We need to believe it. We don't need to change it. It doesn't need changing. It's settled. It's been settled for all eternity. We don't need to rewrite it to make it easier to understand. We just need to hold fast to it and stand on it. And one of this little guy's favorite songs is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. We need to hold fast. We need to hold fast. And then, number 8. So this is my last point. Good thing I'm almost out of time. Verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If something looks bad, it probably is. Stay away from it. You say, oh, preacher, just a minute, it's not bad. It's not evil. Well, does it look bad? If it looks bad, just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Well, isn't that legalism? No, it's not legalism. It's common sense. To me, it's just common sense. If it looks bad, just stay away from it. Say, hey, I'm another Christian. I'm following Jameson. I got my eye on him because he's an example to me in my life. Now, if I see him go over here and get off this path, I'm going to say, well, must be okay. Jameson might say, well, it's not bad. It doesn't say I can't do this in the Bible. I know, but it looks bad. And so, again, if he wants to keep making progress like this, he just needs to stay away from it. Just stay away from it. When I worked and I traveled a lot, I liked iced tea, but I wouldn't drink iced tea because I didn't want somebody to come into where I was and see all these guys that I was with and think I was drinking something I wasn't supposed to drink. So I ordered water. Just water. I didn't order Coke. I didn't order Pepsi. I didn't order soft drink because I didn't want anybody. Now, most of the time, I was far away where, you know, none of you guys would show up, probably. Say, there's the preacher drinking. I wasn't worried about that. But I was worried about, you know, about people that, you know, the places I went to visit, they knew where I stood. I didn't want them to come in a restaurant after work one night and see something that they might think was something that wasn't really. So I just drank water. So I drank when I was away from home. Because I didn't want to appear to be doing something I shouldn't be doing. And again, if this guy is going to keep making progress and keep making progress, if he does those 8 things, he'll get closer and closer and closer. And the closer we get, you know what we realize? A couple things. We realize how good Jesus is. The closer we get, the more we realize how good he is. And the closer we get, the more we realize how far we have yet to go. I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. I keep pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, thanks, guys. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that day is closer than it's ever been. Not going to set a date because nobody knows, but I think it's closer than it's ever been. And when he comes, I hope that we're all found faithful, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Keep making progress on that course, that race that he's given us to run. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that if there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that tonight would be the night. They see their sin. They see the price of that sin. They see the price that Jesus paid for them. And I pray, Father, that they would come and receive him. Most of us are Christians tonight. So I pray you speak to our hearts. These little verses, three or four words in every single one of them. Oh, what truth. And I pray that we would practice, put into practice what your word says, that we would live for Jesus every day of our life and keep making progress toward being more like him. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient, to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.